Hello, and what's up, everybody? This is Colton, host of Life Lessons, the Intaba Manga Cast, and as I'm sure you could tell, this is not going to be a normal episode of the podcast, because, so I'm just going to be completely honest. I probably mentioned it in our last episode of the podcast, but I'm going to be doing a lot of work trying to get some future episodes of the podcast ready and up, those specifically being our Benny Zakura episodes. I've got a lot of work ahead of me to try to get those recorded and done. And so I'm basically going to be working on probably all four episodes of that particular section of the podcast. And basically going to be working on all those, editing all those, and I'm pretty much not going to put up any of those until like they're all done, because I want to basically get them all edited and then put them up subsequently throughout maybe throughout the month. Here in like the next couple of months, but that kind of means you guys are probably gonna be pretty dry for content while I'm doing that, and I don't I always feel bad when I've had to do that in the past, and I decided not to do that this time around, because while you're waiting for those, I guess basically at the time of this recording, the next two episodes of Life Lessons before Benny Zakura, I figured those wouldn't really be enough to, I guess, whet your appetite for the podcast. That's a weird way to put it, but you know what I mean. To basically kind of help fill the void with, something other than just two episodes of Life Lessons, especially with the way, with, like, my normal, like, release schedule of, like, one podcast a month, that might not be enough until I get Benny Zakura done. So, I've recorded a few special little installments of a temporary podcast I am going to be calling Jumping Ahead, where, and forgive me if I sound like a broken record, because I forget if I explained this all in the first episode or not. Probably not, because I probably didn't have a very good idea of how I wanted to introduce these at the time, but, if you happen to listen to episode 57 of the podcast, I had my good friends Nada and John, otherwise known as Lightung VG. So not the other John that is actually like my real life best friend who is in the Navy, but John Lightung VG from Twitter. I had him on that episode, and I liked having him on so much that I figured I'd record some more stuff with him. I basically recorded at this point 7 out of 8 installments of what I'm going to be calling Jumping Ahead, where basically at the time John was watching Gintama for the first time, and he just happened to have gotten to like basically a portion of the series that is kind of some of my favorite in the series, I guess. I don't know. Basically he got to a lot of my favorite arcs that I had always wanted to talk about on the podcast in some shape or form, but with the fact that these arcs in the manga haven't really been touched by Viz and probably are never going to be, I figured I'd use this opportunity to talk about arcs that I would never really get to cover on Life Lessons proper, and also just to maybe cover some of John's thoughts as he's going through Gintama for the first time, or I guess as he was going through Gintama for the first time. So that's basically what these next 8 installments of the podcast are going to be, aside from the actual 2 episodes of Life Lessons that I still have to record before we get to Benny Zakura. So these are pretty much going to be coming out over the next like 2 or 3 months or so. I'm basically going to be spending all of summer getting all of my Benny Zakura episodes ready, all recorded and edited, so I can maybe release them sometime around August or September, sometime around there. That's the plan anyway. I still have to actually start recording those. But in the meantime, I have about 8 episodes of this very temporary mini podcast recorded, and I hope you guys enjoy them, because I really enjoyed talking to John about some of my favorite arcs in the entirety of the series that we probably won't get to cover on Life Lessons anytime soon, properly, honestly. So on this episode, we're going to be covering the Thorny arc, which means we are going to be talking about essentially chapters 365 to 370 of the manga, and episode 244 to 247 of the anime. And keep in mind, for all of these, we're talking about the anime counterparts. John has not read the manga. I've read the manga for some of these, but we're mostly sticking to the anime for these also in particular. So if you have not read this portion of the manga or have seen this portion of the anime, and you are a listener of Life Lessons who really likes to keep up with the podcast as we cover the manga for the first time. Basically, if you're only caught up with how much manga we cover on Life Lessons, and that is how much Gintama you've seen at all, then you might not want to listen to this episode, because there will be spoilers for later events if you have not watched or read this portion of the manga or anime. And without further ado, let's just jump on ahead. Welcome to the first episode of whatever this is going to be. Obviously, you are listening to this through the Life Lessons, the Gintama Manga Cast podcast feed. But this is not going to be a normal episode of Life Lessons, because not only are we not talking about the manga, but we're going to be talking about the anime. And we're actually going to be talking about parts of the anime that we're probably never going to cover via the manga, because we're going to be talking about a certain story arcs from the show that that Viz has never even attempted to translate, and probably never will. So, you know, I figured. First off, I have now a reoccurring guest of the show, John. Say hi, John.
What's poppin'?
Otherwise known as LaitungVG on Twitter. You've maybe seen him around if you follow me or Bomber on Twitter or what have you. I'm pretty sure that hopefully by the time this is out, everybody have already listened to your first episode of Life Lessons, where we talked about all the beetle hunting and whatnot. That was pretty fun. I actually still need to edit that. but hopefully that'll be out by the time this is out. And, you know, John, just in case the listeners may have forgotten, why did I have you on Life Lessons in the first place? Could you remind the people?
Well, I am currently, at the time of this recording at least, watching Gintama for the very first time. In December 2016, that's when I started the series. I've been watching at about a rate of 2 episodes a day, more on weekends or when I'm on a serious arc. And right now, I had just gotten over Thorny. I just finished Gintama Apostrophe, and I'm about to start in Chuzen tonight, as far as the time of the recording goes.
Yeah, so I wanted to have John on again because, you know, I felt like instead of just because I feel like every time John watches a series, like, you know, one of the quote unquote more serious arcs, or at least just an arc that I really like, I always miss on Twitter when he's always like, oh yeah, I finally finished watching this thing, and I don't see those tweets until like probably a day later, so I'm always a day later than everybody else when they're like, oh yeah, how was it? Did you like it? What'd you think of it? Or whatever. So I figured I'd get the jump on it. I get the jump on John. That sounds really weird, actually. That sounds dirty, but whatever. It's Gintama. We can get away with that. So I thought I'd get the jump on things, and I just want to talk to John about, because he's getting into a lot of arcs that are probably my favorites in all of the entire series, Thorny being one of them. I wish I had this idea when he got around to, like, Four Davis or whatnot, but, you know, we're long past that, and I don't really feel like backtracking. But, like I said, this is basically a part of the series where a lot of my favorite arcs start to pop up, and I figured while John had these fresh in his mind that I get to talk to him about these. And, you know, for those of you listening, probably by the time I release these, I am possibly getting my Benizakura episodes of Life Lessons, the Gintama Manga Cast, ready, and I'm basically taking a month or two to, like, record probably what's going to end up being, like, all 4 episodes of that entire arc, because I really want to put in a lot of work for those. So I'm recording these little special things ahead of time where I just talk to John about more recent Gintama arcs that I really want to talk to him about, because I'm probably never going to get to talk to them or talk to them, what? I'm probably never going to get to, like, talk about them via the manga officially, because Viz is probably never ever going to get to these, so I figured I'm just going to take the time now and talk about them while John is watching them for the first time. So I apologize for taking what I'm sure will be sort of a sabbatical from the podcast, but just note that I am working on the Benny Zakura portion of the podcast and try to put as much work into that as I can. And I just wanted to record these so that, you know, people weren't exactly dry for content, because I've done that in the past and I'm trying to get the jump on things. I think that's what I'm going to, I think that's what I'm going to call this stupid thing, getting the jump on things. Because will it make sense? I don't know. I'm going to stop rambling and just get on right with it. So yeah, the first arc we're going to be talking about is, I believe this arc starts at 244 or something like that.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about the Baragaki arc and or Thorny, whichever you want to go with. So for those of you who follow along the manga with us on Life Lessons, we're just going to put a spoiler warning here that if you have not read up to chapter 365 of the manga, or if you haven't seen up to episode 244 of the anime, you might just want to stop here and, I don't know, go do something else, because we're going to be spoiling a lot of this arc. So I'm just warning you guys ahead of time. If you're not caught up, I'm sorry. But if you are caught up, enjoy our little back and forth discussion. So I guess we could just start from there. So, John, I guess just to start, generally speaking, what did you think of Thorny, just overall?
I'd have to put it in my top three arcs so far, along with Four Devas and what is still sits at my number one, which would be Shinsengumi Crisis. I like the development it had on the Shinsengumi, specifically Hijikata, but, you know, the dynamic between the members of the Shinsengumi is one of my favorite things about this series, and I loved having them expand upon it, talk about what it means to be in the Shinsengumi, and introduce Tetsuno, and kind of show how they would deal with a new recruit, especially one that, by any other circumstances, would not be accepted into their ranks.
Yeah, Thorny, I think the first time I watched this arc when I was going through the anime for the first time was definitely an arc that pretty much instantly became one of my favorites, and I've definitely rewatched this arc in particular a lot, whether I watch it by myself or with my friend Jay, who I used to have on the podcast a lot more frequently. We've even talked about the Thorny arc before in our old special character retrospective on Hijikata, entitled The Hijikata Special. I'll probably put a link to that in the show notes in case anybody wants to listen to that if they've never heard of that particular episode of the podcast. That was really fun. But so yeah, we've talked about Thorny once or twice on here on the podcast before, but I don't think we've ever gone too super in-depth. Not that there's anything in particular I want to talk about, I guess. More so, I just like hearing what you have to say about my favorite arcs, and that's why I wanted to do this thing. And I totally have to agree that, especially with past events in both the anime and manga, I think I'm really finally coming to terms with the fact that I just love the Shinsengumi. And I think they really are some of my favorite characters in the entirety of the cast, honestly, and I agree with what you say about their dynamics and that they're just so fun to watch together. And personally, I'm starting to think that the Shinsengumi just kind of have some of the best arcs, what with this and Shinsengumi Crisis. And then later on, you'll get to it. But with Feral Shinsengumi, that's a really great arc for them as well. I guess, what were your kind of first impressions of the arc going in? Like, did you have any, like, real expectations, or were you just kind of mostly going in blind, or what have you?
Well, I didn't really know much about it other than what I had heard on Twitter. It was like, oh yeah, this is a really good arc. It's about the Shinsengumi. It introduces a couple new characters. So that's all I really knew. But then I saw the preview for the first episode when I was watching the End of the Host Club arc. And I'm like, oh cool, I get to see what this arc's all about. And then I see a bunch of rappers and I'm like, oh yay. this again.
did the recaps for each episode get on your nerves at any point at all, or did you think that those were funny?
I wouldn't say they got on my nerves, but I feel like they kind of interrupted the flow of the story. I feel like it might have been better for me to just watch all of the story put together and have the recaps and openings removed.
Yeah, I could see that. Actually, when you put it that way, we obviously have stuff like, you know, the reanimated Benny Zakura movie, and that's all fun and good, but, like, I honestly wouldn't mind. I think Thorny on its own could work as like an hour and a half, 2 hour retelling or whatever. I think that would be really cool.
Didn't they do that movie cut of Shinsengumi Crisis and Four Devas where they didn't reanimate anything? They just cut out all the openings and endings and zoomed in to give it a 16:9 aspect ratio.
I think that's what they did, yeah. I mean, I know those exist, but, like, I haven't seen them just because I don't think anyone's really bothered to, like, subtitle them, or I know those aren't available, like, officially, because, like you said, like, there's really nothing new about them. It's just both of those arcs cut together into one long movie or whatever, separately, I mean, but I'm going to assume that's probably what they did, yeah. I kind of wish they would do the same thing with Thorny, because I think that arc in particular could work as a movie, and I mean I would watch it. I guess what did you think about all the new characters? Because we're introduced to Mr. Sasaki Isaburo and then Imai Nobume from the Mimawari Gumi. Those are technically some new characters we get introduced with this arc. What'd you think of them at all?
Well, I'd have to say my favorite, just out of what we got to know about the character, would definitely be Tetsuno, because I loved how he was kind of a character with no ambition in life because he couldn't live up to really tall expectations set before him, but it was one simple act of kindness from Hijikata that convinced him that he wanted to become a member of the Shinsengumi and make a name for himself. He had a really satisfying character development in this arc, and I really hope that they show a lot more of him further on along the series.
Okay. Yeah, I think Tetsunosuke in particular, he's definitely, I agree with what you just said, that I think he has a great character arc, and it's in that in and of itself is very satisfying. I won't give too much away. Tetsunosuke is kind of one of those members at the Shinsengumi that, like, they kind of showcase and then you don't really get too much with them again. But you do clearly see them in, like you'll see them in the background and stuff. Like, they still exist, which is very nice. Though at least with Tetsunosuke, I know later on we'll have some moments that sort of call back to his character arc and sort of resolve that in the way, and that's all I'll say about that. But I really like the moments we get with Tetsunosuke, like, outside of this arc and beyond. I think they're very small moments, but, like, with the context of Thorny and everything that happens in that arc, I think with all that context in mind will just mean so much more. Which is what I love about those moments in particular. But yeah, so I can't wait for you to get to those. We'll definitely be talking about those when we get to another arc that I cannot wait to talk about, hopefully down the line. So yeah, Tetsunosuke is a great character. I've just grown to appreciate him so much more the more I revisit Thorny, honestly, because I didn't really think too much about him or of him the first time I watched this arc. But yeah, he's definitely a character I really appreciate in retrospect. What did you think about Sasaki at all? Like, I guess this is basically his introduction into the series, and not to give away too much, but he's going to be a very important character, you know, moving forward. I guess, what are your first impressions of Sasaki as a character, and do you like seeing him on screen?
So here's the thing. I hated his guts, but I was obviously supposed to hate his guts, so good job to Sriracha for making a really good dickish character, an elite dick, have you. His faction of the government is obviously going to clash with the Shinsengumi a lot in the future. I can see that coming. And I really hope that, I don't know what to say about how I want their future appearances to be, but I feel like they're kind of foils to the Shinsengumi, that everyone in this faction, they were born into wealth, whereas the Shinsengumi were a bunch of bumpkins who were able to move to the city and make a name for themselves.
Essentially.
So I really hope that either the... dang, how do I pronounce this? Mimawari Gumi?
Yeah.
I really hope that they get to, I guess, realize what makes the Shinsengumi so special, because Isaburo called himself a fan of the Shinsengumi, but he was obviously being incredibly patronizing to them because of his higher social status.
Okay. I will say I'm glad you caught that. I do want you to keep that in mind going forward, because there will be some interesting context to that later on. But yeah, and that's another thing too, because I'm trying to be careful with what I say, because because rewatching Thorny for me after watching certain more current arcs in the anime, it's really interesting to watch this arc in retrospect for me, and just to see like how Isaburo's character I guess kind of aligns with who we get to know him as in the future. So I appreciate that consistency. Like, I don't feel like rewatching Thorny, I don't feel like, oh yeah, like he feels really different. Like sometimes when, especially during like a long running series, I'll go back and rewatch a certain portion of the story and kind of observe a character, and they'll do something like that seems out of character now that you've gotten to know that character more, and you're just kind of like, huh. I guess they had like a gag there or something. I guess that never went anywhere. You know what I mean? It's just stuff like that I always find really interesting. But thankfully, it doesn't seem like Sriracha. It feels like Sriracha really kept Sasaki's character like really consistent. So I appreciate that. I did notice with Nobume that like her voice actor, you can tell if you watch Thorny, watch the rest of the show, and then go back to rewatch Thorny and pay attention to, like, her voice acting or whatever, Nobume, for some reason, sounds very, her pitch sounds a little higher to me somehow. It's really interesting, because, like, Nobume's voice actor, the voice that she uses to portray that character becomes a lot lower as the series goes on, and as she kind of gets more used to the character, which I think is interesting to kind of look back on. But did you have any thoughts on Nobume in particular? I know she's another new character, though I will admit I don't think she gets to do much, so might not have a ton to say. But what do you think of her in general?
Well, yeah, in this arc, she certainly didn't do a lot, but I feel like she posed an interesting character that could come back and be more fleshed out and have an interesting character made out of her in the future. I really think she has a lot of potential, and I know that she does come back and get some development later, because Bomber told me that. And I find her an interesting character because she's in one of these police forces as a female, and that's obviously something that in real life in that time period you wouldn't see, and in the context of this show is definitely also very rare.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of her interactions with Okita?
Oh, that was honestly one of my favorite parts of the arc, really. specifically how Sogo acts, because Sogo, I was really impressed and I appreciated how he saw her as an adversary in battle, because if you look back at how he typically treats women, other than his own sister, of course, he obviously definitely looks at females a different way than males, or at least that's the impression I got from his character, but he saw her for the first time, saw her causing all this trouble, and he just saw her as a worthy adversary.
I was kind of hoping for... I thought Novame and Okita as characters, I thought were, just had an interesting like dynamic between the two of them. And I would have liked to see more of that, but it's one of those things where it's like, oh, there could be something here, but like, other than a few like little interactions, there isn't like a ton later on. I feel like it could have been explored more later on, but what we got here was still pretty good and led to a decent fight. Wasn't anything like super spectacular, but it looked nice and it was animated well, and that's not exactly super common for Gintama to have like super amazing animation. You could tell, I think in like the first half of the arc, I could kind of tell they were really saving some of the better animation for like, what was it, episode 246, where a lot of the action actually goes down between Okita and Nobume, and then Hijikata and Isaburo. Some of the action in that was really great. I'm guessing you thought the same thing.
Well, that's the thing. I know that Gintama isn't well known for having spectacular animation, but I don't know how anyone could ever call it subpar, especially when you look at the action sequences, and we don't get a lot of that in this arc, but this is something that I just like to say in general. I think the action sequences are very, very well done, and are really has some of the best animation that this series has to offer. Like, if you look at the action sequences in Yoshiwara and Flames, the small action sequences we get in Red Spider, and then in Four Devas, it's just really some amazing stuff that caught me off guard when I first saw it.
Yeah, I particularly like the fights with Isaburo and Hijikata. Some of those were really good. I also like scenes like Hijikata cutting Isaburo's bullet in half and then slamming his sword right into Isaburo's chest, which, by the way, is going to be sort of a running thing a little bit, where like Sasaki will just get stabbed and he just kind of looks at it like, oh, whatever, this happens all the time. I don't care. I'm an elite. Those are some of my favorite moments with him, because I forgot how much I love when he gets stabbed in the shoulder and he just looks down at it like it's just no big deal at all. because he's an elite. Why should he care? Also, kind of interesting to see that that Gin, the main character, while you know he plays some part in the Thorny arc, he doesn't really have that big of a role, which I thought was kind of refreshing. I don't want to say it's rare, but like it's kind of nice to see in a shonen series to, you know, not have the focus be on the main character all the time. And I like that Gintama's other characters are fleshed out enough and have enough depth to them to where like we can sit and watch these different story arcs featuring these other characters that aren't the main character. But I mean, to be fair, I feel like if the Shinsengumi, if Sorachi had gone with what he originally wanted to do and just create a manga about the Shinsengumi, honestly, I would have been fine with that, because the Shinsengumi, I think, are good enough characters to have their own series. I legitimately think that.
I can somewhat agree with that, though I still think the Yorozuya are the heart of the series. I think the Shinsengumi work really well as side characters who get the spotlight on occasion, and when you get arcs like Shinsengumi Crisis, they really do some amazing stuff. But I agree with you that I love that Gin really took the back seat in this arc, because I was kind of getting tired of this thing that Sorachi loves to do, where Gintoki gets into a fight with someone way stronger than him. He gets defeated in battle and severely wounded. He rests for like 5 minutes, then he comes back and defeats the enemy. Whoa. And it was really good and dramatic in Benny Zakura, where it felt like there was a real threat to his health, because he freaking got impaled all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of my favorite scenes, where he sneaks out of the Shimura household. But when you get to like Yoshiwara and Flames and then Four Divas, it's like he doesn't seem to be like a human anymore. He seems it's not like he's a very, very skilled combatant. It's like he's basically a Yaddo.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, why some people would get annoyed by that, because like it is when you get far enough into Gintama and Sorachi still kind of does these like little fake outs, like, oh my god, is he gonna die? Oh no, did he lose a limb? Oh no. And then it turns out, oh no, they're fine. Like sometimes that can be effective, but then it just kind of gets to a point where like we're 300 episodes in or whatever, like we're I don't think they're gonna die, you know what I mean? So that sense of urgency is a little lost. I can understand that, and I'm kind of glad that that Sorachi kind of does away with the whole getting injured or whatever, has to take a break and then has to go fight again, because that does kind of feel like a thing that used to happen a little more often. Though let me tell you, when you brought that trope up, it just makes me think of Bleach, because that kind of thing happens all the fucking time in Bleach, to the point where like that's just the cycle of what happens. Basically, main character gets into a fight, they lose, they learn a new power, they use that new power to defeat the enemy, another new enemy shows up, that power doesn't work, they get defeated, and so on and so on, and that gets really annoying. So I don't mean to go on a tangent, but yeah, I don't like that stuff. I don't like that kind of thing either. Especially when, I mean, it happens in Gintama, but it's also one of those things where if you watch other shonen anime or whatever, that kind of thing is like, Sorachi uses that sparingly compared to other people, which I appreciate. So there's that.
Yeah, that's one of the things I like the least in Battle Shonen. It's the you have to learn a new technique, or you have to train and get stronger to defeat this enemy. I just feel like it's such a tired thing, and I'm glad that not only does Gintama stay away from that in their serious arcs, they openly parody it in their comedic arcs. Of course, the two Lake Toya arcs are ones that I really enjoy.
Well, yeah, those are really good. Not to go on a whole other thing, but yeah, that's something I like about Gintama too, is that it's going to get to a point where, I mean, you haven't gotten there yet, but, it'll get to a point later on where, like, you know, I what I like about Gintama is that, like, the characters feel like they still get stronger, but we don't, Sorachi doesn't have to constantly, like, remind the viewers of like how much all the characters are training or whatever, and I like that certain characters just kind of get stronger as they just kind of move on with their life or whatever. Like we don't have to see that, we just know that happens. Like it's okay to have that kind of stuff happen off screen, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah
So characters do get stronger, we just don't have to constantly see it all the time. But I'm trying to think if there was anything else I really wanted to talk about with this arc. I really like the atmosphere near the second half, with the red lighting and whatnot. It really makes everything feel so visceral and like and very intimidating. And I love it so much. That's something a detail I really like. Oh yeah, and the music in this arc is really great too. I don't know if you. That's something I kind of want to talk to you about real quick. How do you feel about the music in Gintama so far? Is that something that's kind of on your radar, or is that something you're just kind of like, ah, it's there?
Well, I mean, I always appreciate the importance of music in video games and in television and film, of course. It's just something that can really make or break certain scenes. Like if you look at an anime adaptation of a manga, you can get some good dramatic music in there and give a certain scene a million times more impact than it ever had in the manga. And of course I haven't read the Gintama manga, so I couldn't say how the anime compares to it. But I have to say that I'm disappointed with how the music in the series is handled, because we don't have a good bounty of individual tracks in the series, and certain tracks that were like originally used in dramatic emotional moments end up getting used just whenever in comedic arcs, and that kind of cheapens the effect they have when they're used. So I don't enjoy that much, but when a new track is introduced or when a track is made specifically for one episode, like looking at the Umbrella episode, that has to be the best use of music the series has done. And I'm glad that track was never used again, or so I'm told at least.
It's used like once or twice, like parts of it, but like it's not overused. Cause you'll hear it again in Courtesan of a Nation for like a little bit. I guess the last thing I want to talk about is just Hijikata in general. Like, I guess just in terms of the character, just in general, how do you like him compared to the rest of the cast? Because he's personally probably, if it weren't for Gin, if Hijikata were the main character of his own series, he'd probably be my favorite character, honestly.
Well, the thing about the Shinsengumi is there's not really one character that I value on their own as a character. Not to say that they're not good characters, because they're all great characters, but I feel like the genius of them is the dynamic that they have together. And I think that's why they really shine in my eyes.
So you kind of see them more as, you value them more as a group than you do individually.
Yes, and they're amazing characters again, but just the reason they have all united together, the past they share together, it really makes them a unique part of the cast and one that you really couldn't replace.
Oh, no, not at all. I guess now my other question might be kind of useless to ask, but I'm still curious. I guess what did you think about Hijikata? I guess when you start learning about his past and where he comes from, did that change your view on the character at all? Did it like add anything to the character that you, I guess for you personally, or I guess did your thoughts change, or are they just kind of the same?
Well, his backstory certainly made me like him a lot more. I liked him from the beginning, of course, but seeing everything he's had to go through, first you get the flashback in the Yagyu arc, then there's the Mitsuba arc, which kind of made me feel a little more on him. But then when we had Shinsengumi Crisis, that was really what made me love him and love Kondo both as individual characters, because they both really have, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I really enjoyed them a lot. But, yes, I do love Hijikata.
Well, that's good. I find it interesting how you weren't really, how it doesn't seem like you really felt for him too much during the Mitsuba arc, because I feel like, first off, the Mitsuba arc, I feel like, I don't know if it was the same for you at all, but I think that might have actually been the first real time I ever, like, actually teared up and cried because of Gintama, honestly. I think at the time I was watching, that was my first real cry, honestly, because, you know, there had been emotional moments before then, but they didn't like hit me as hard. But yeah, it's interesting. Actually, yeah, let's dig into that a little bit. I guess why do you think it feels like you weren't feeling Hijikata during that arc in particular?
While I understand the reasoning behind his actions both in the past and in the present of the arc, it doesn't seem like that he did a good enough job emotionally with taking care of Mitsuba before he had to leave her. It just seemed like he up and left without a proper goodbye, and with Sogo, that was obviously an issue that he never strove to resolve between the two of them, and it's something that even as far as I've gotten in the series continues to create a rift between them. And sure, Sogo's hate for Hijikata makes for some really funny moments, but after I learned why he can act so sadistic around him, that really added a whole nother layer to Sogo that made me enjoy him more. It's like the Mitsuba arc made me like Sogo a lot more, and then Shinsengumi Crisis made me like Kondo and Hijikata a lot more.
I could see that. Now, see, that's interesting, because I feel like Thorny's just another example of Hijikata and how he handles his emotions and how he handles himself around other people, because, you know, we get that bit at the end where, I mean, it's established, I think, before the end of the arc that, like, you know, when all of that stuff went down with Hijikata taking out the two bandits who tried to rob his family's home or whatever, and how he basically left after that because he felt like a demon to his brother or whatever. I can understand the frustration with Hijikata and Mitsuba's relationship because I can understand why Hijikata handled things the way he did, because it was his way of trying to protect Mitsuba, but he obviously could have went about it a lot better. But on the other hand, I also kind of understand that that's just kind of how Hijikata is. Like, he does not wear his heart on his sleeve at all, and he keeps things very close to the chest, and isn't really one to, like, open up to people too much. So I guess, like, watching Thorny, I feel like his backstory, and the more we explore his relationship with him and his brother, Tamegoro, I feel like I just kind of started to understand that was just part of his character, because we get that bit where, like, you know, after leaving his brother and being away for so long, he just up and comes back home to have dinner with him and leaves without saying really anything to him. And that whole thing where, you know, yeah, Hijikata sends letters to his brother, but, like, they don't say anything. And it's a whole, like, oh, they're brothers. They don't need words or whatever. Their bond is stronger than that or whatever, which, to a point, I feel like is a little silly, but I also get it at the same time. So I feel like watching Thorny, I feel like just kind of makes me, it kind of makes me, I feel like I'm a little more understandable of his actions during Mitsuba, because I feel like, while I don't necessarily agree with his actions, I feel like that's just the kind of person Hijikata is.
Well, there's a couple responses I have to that. Firstly, about the letters between him and his brother, I don't think the meaning of the letters was that their bond was stronger than words. I think it was just the fact that he was sending letters, the fact that he was assuring his existence that he was alive, was all that both of them needed in order to continue to be happy.
This is true, yes.
And then, further on, talking about Hijikata as a character, his treatment of Tetsuno is certainly one of his shining moments in the series for me. One of the best things I've ever seen him do as a character. I was openly sobbing when the letter that he had given Tetsuno to send was read out loud.
Oh, Jesus, me too, actually.
It's going to be a weird analogy, kind of, but the scene where Hijikata in the street saves Tetsuno from the
Mimawarigumi, you'll get it.
Mimawarigumi, the scene where he saves him from that, and that causes Tetsuno to want to change his character completely and be loyal to Hijikata. That reminds me of in part one of JoJo, where Jonathan is going down this bad street in England and comes across this group of street thugs, one of them being Speedwagon, and
yes,
Jonathan purposely beats Speedwagon up, but not mortally, doesn't permanently injure him, just so he can go home to his family. And that single act of kindness is enough to turn Speedwagon from a street thug into one of the key allies of the series, and he goes on to become an oil tycoon, and to his death, is just a great person who does not stop giving to the Joestar bloodline. As I said, a weird analogy, but that's what I was reminded of when Tetsuno kind of did a 180 with his character.
Yeah, I could see that. I think it works well enough. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, I guess does... I guess what... in my mind, the fact that you can't really say Hijikata in the end treated his brother the same way he treated Mitsuba, because I feel like that's not entirely true, but I feel like kind of the spirit of his character is there. Like I said before, he's not really one to open up to other people too much, though I feel like he gets a little better about that as the series goes on. But like, you know, he's, again, like I said, he's still the kind of person who keeps a lot of things close to the chest. And I mean, I think you get what I mean. I'm just repeating myself at this point.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I missed that part about what you said earlier, but I definitely would say that he treated his relationship with Tamagoro a lot better than he treated his relationship with Mitsuba, because even just sending blank letters, it was miles more than what he did for Mitsuba. It just feels like he basically left her emotionally damaged like that for basically the rest of her life, because there was only one other man she got into a relationship with after, and we all know what his intentions were.
Yeah, that, man. God, I can't wait to talk about the Mitsuba arc on the podcast. That's the only reason I'm not doing it now, is because that's actually going to be a part of the manga we can talk about. That's going to be, I'm so excited to talk about that arc, but that's for another day. So I guess the more I talk about it, I feel like Hijikata handled both situations. Like, I feel like thinking about his character, the way he handled both situations, I think makes sense and are true to his character. But I think I can also say that he definitely treated one situation and one person a lot better than the other, which is unfortunate.
It's true that with both the situations with Tamagoro and Mitsuba, he treated them the way that his character would. They were both faithful to his character. But what it came off to me as was that Mitsuba never meant anywhere near as much to Hijikata as he meant to her, and as Tamagoro meant to him.
See, I don't know if I entirely agree with that, because I feel like Mitsuba meant something to Hijikata. I think it's just that thing where it's like, and I haven't rewatched the arc in a while, so maybe I'm a little fuzzy, but if I remember correctly, either he made a point or I just came to this conclusion on my own. I don't honestly remember, but I feel like there's a point in that arc where Hijikata talks about how, like, you know, how he kind of stays away from being romantically involved with not just Mitsuba, but with other people, because, you know, he's a cop, and, you know, in his line of work, he could easily, like, die at any time in the line of duty, which is why if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure why he kind of stayed distant from Mitsuba in the first place. Well, I guess what I'm saying is I feel like, as far as that arc goes, I feel like he had good intentions, but I will still say that he did not handle that situation as well as he ultimately could have.
No, you're definitely right. He definitely didn't mean wrong by what he did, but he certainly could have done better even by the standards of his character.
Which is kind of part of the reason why I love that arc in particular, just because of how tragic everything is. Because it's one of those things where it's like, you know, man, like, if you just talked this thing out, this thing could have ended up so much better. And not everyone would have been so damaged afterwards.
Yeah.
Which is why every time Okita mentions Mitsuba for the longest time, the mention of Mitsuba's name just, like, made me cry on cue. Thankfully, it doesn't happen a lot, but, like, when it does, I'm just, like, it just, my heart physically hurts. And I don't like that. Oh boy. So I guess was there anything else you wanted to talk about with this arc in particular, or you think that might be about it?
There was one particular thing about Gintoki that I either didn't like or didn't entirely understand. The scene where they're standing on top of the building during the whole hostage situation, and Gintoki has his long dialogue with Hijikata, and Hijikata's like, if Tetsuno really means as much to you as these other random thugs do, then you can just kill him. And then Gintoki's like, oh, okay, and he just throws him off the building. And it seems like he's caught by Sogo and Yamazaki by chance.
Yeah, I think I know where you're getting at. Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird, too. I don't know if that was meant to be, like, a ploy or whatever to, like, save Tetsu. I don't know. I don't know if Sorachi thought that out super well. That I do kind of agree. That does come off kind of weird to me.
But then there was a Mimawari Gumi member who's like, oh, it was all a ruse or something like that. And I'm like, oh, then I guess he knew that they were under there and ready to catch him. But just the nature of that single action, how they had to catch him by the rope that was hanging around from him, it just seemed like it was all by chance.
Yeah, because, like, what would have happened if Gin actually accidentally killed Tetsu? Like, I think it's just one of those things where either Gin didn't think all the way through, or maybe Sorachi didn't really think that all the way through, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, that is kind of a weird thing, because obviously, I'm sure, like, Hijikata on his part was bluffing, which is why he was so surprised, but I guess that is kind of weird, but I think it works well enough, but I understand why that would seem kind of weird. Like, okay, what was your plan B? I'm really glad Yamazaki just happened to be there to catch Tetsu. Otherwise, this would have been all for nothing, I guess. So dumb. I guess, were you surprised at the fact that Gin outed himself out as the Shiroyasha?
Yeah, as the White Yaksha. I didn't understand why he did it in an arc where he wasn't really a driving force, a prominent character. He just showed up, helped fight at the top of the roof, helped the Shinsengumi win. But honestly, the Shinsengumi, and this is just a small aside, they were so clever and amazing in this arc. When they fighting the Mimawari Gumi. The scene I loved the most was where Hijikata and the others actually went around and put Shinsengumi clothing on the Mimawari Gumi members that they had killed. So it looked like that, it looked to the helicopter drivers that they were winning the battle.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And the part where Hijikata throws that grenade, but it turns out to be his, like, mayonnaise dispenser, that was a really good feint or whatever.
Yes. But what I'm saying is that Gintoki, this wasn't really that taxing of a fight on him by the standards of what we've seen him do before. So I don't understand why he was like, oh yeah, I'm the Shiroyasha.
I think I just attribute that to Gin being a cocky motherfucker, honestly.
I guess in his mind it really wasn't anything meaningful, but it was just him, oh, you think you're these cool anti-foreigner rebels? Well, I'm the king of them.
And they're basically like, okay, well, we are arrested. Because I know you're going to be getting into the Kintama arc soon, which, you know, is going to be the next arc that we're definitely going to be talking about as soon as you're done with. Because the Kintama arc, I think, is an arc that I like more than this one for certain reasons. But just a bit of continuity stuff here. I found out that as far as the manga goes, apparently the Kintama arc takes place right after the Thorny arc. And basically, in the manga, the Shinsengumi take in Gintoki for questioning or whatever. But it's all stuff that, like, happens, like, off screen or whatever. Because, like, I don't want to say how the arc starts because I don't want to give anything away. But, like, when Gin appears again in the Kintama arc, and he comes back to his house or whatever, and that's how the arc starts. Like, he mentions how, oh yeah, I've been gone for a couple of weeks because the Shinsengumi kept me. Hey, what's going on? And that's how that arc starts in the manga. And then in the anime, they had to change that because obviously in the anime, it doesn't take place right afterwards. The Gintama arc starts off kind of this new season of Gintama, if you will. Where in the anime, because at the time, there's a 6-month gap in between the end of, I guess, 2011, 2012 Gintama, and then when Enchosin starts. So the arc in the anime starts with Gin just, like, drunkenly walking back home, and he's like, oh, hey, sorry, I was on vacation for, like, 6 months or whatever. So I just thought I'd give you a little context there, just in case that might confuse you a little bit, where it's like, oh, why was Gin gone for this long or whatever?
Yeah, I noticed when I was looking up the arc on the wiki that it actually, that Thorny leads pretty much directly into Gintama, but then in Gintama apostrophe, they stuffed in a few episodes in between them because they weren't going to, in this season, doing two kind of important arcs right next to each other.
Yeah.
And they even made a joke about that in what was supposed the last episode.
Oh, yeah. Hey, what'd you think of that last episode, by the way?
I thought that was pretty funny that they were apologizing for all the stuff they did. It was a typical recap episode, but I enjoyed it, and I loved the note from Sorachi at the end. It was kind of sweet in a Gintama sort of way.
Yeah, that last episode's good. But yeah, I'm serious when I say I can't wait to talk about Gintama, because man, that arc kind of means a lot to me, and to the point where, like, it kind of, that arc kind of shaped how I view Gintama overall, and it's just it really brings to light a lot. Like, it's a good, like, great, now I'm losing my train of thought too. That arc in particular is like a great representation of what I love about Gintama, which we're definitely going to be getting into in the next episode of whatever we're doing here. So as soon as you watch that, we're definitely going to talk about it, that and Courtesan of a Nation, because those are basically the two arcs that kind of probably have the most sentimental value to me, Gintama more so. But I think overall, Thorny was good, right?
Oh, I loved it a lot. It was...
That's good.
It was one of Hijikata's absolute best moments in the series so far. The Shinsengumi overall were really cool. The new characters introduced were all interesting. Isaburo, of course, was a dick, but he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I love Tetsuno.
Oh, actually, what do you think about the scene at the end where Isaburo talks in all metaphors and riddles? I'm sure that confuses the fuck out of you.
That was super weird. I didn't quite understand what was going on then.
Hey, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, even with the resolution of Isaburo's character as we've gotten sort of recently, rewatching that part, I feel like I kind of understand with a little more context as to what he's talking about, but I still don't fully understand it. So if you don't fully get it on a rewatch, no one's going to blame you. I can't imagine what it was like for Bomber to translate that part of the chapter, honestly. I'm sure that was something where he was like tearing his hair out, like, what the fuck does this mean? Poor guy. So, John, thank you for recording this with me. I really appreciate talking about Thorny with you.
Oh, it was a really good time. I enjoyed it, and I look forward to talking about the future arcs with you.
Okay, good. Where could people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. That's where I hang out online most of the time. My handle is @LeitungVG, or as you'd spell it, because you probably don't know what that means, LeitungVG.
There you go. Yeah, go follow John and as he watches Gintama, though, to be fair, by the time this is out, maybe he'll be done already. I have no idea.
I'll most certainly will be, if we're following your schedule with Vinny Zakura.
Yeah, so, I mean, you should still follow him nonetheless, because, you know, he's a cool guy, I think so, otherwise I wouldn't have him on the show. You know, I like talking to him, and I think you would too, so you should really follow him. And, you know, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at SniperKing323, that's SNIPERKING 323. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over a lot of these things, just because this isn't really the normal podcast. If this is your first episode of Life Lessons in Gintama Manga Cast, I'm sorry, this isn't how the show is normally run. You can listen to all of our podcasts at gintalifelessons.wordpress.com. And just follow us on Twitter at GintamangaCast. That's GintamangaCast. Or I guess, you know, if you want to email us anything about Gintama or what you think about the Thorny arc or whatever arcs me and John are going to be talking about soon, you can email us at GintaLifeLessons@gmail.com and we'll talk about them on the show. But the most important thing is you subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. And I think that's going to be about it. And we'll see you guys next time for another episode of Jumpin' Ahead.